If you're in a life group, you are looking at a book called The Case for Grace by Lee Strobel. And this week, you're going to be discussing chapter 2, by the way. If you are not in a life group, there's still time to get in a group. But if you can't be in a group, I'd like you to get a hold of the book, The Case for Grace by Lee Strobel, because it is a life-changing book where you see the power of God's grace unfolding in each chapter. So here's some thoughts for you found in the Word of God. For the Word of God is what changes us. Romans chapter 8 describes to us this idea of spiritual adoption. Maybe you are not a Christ follower and you've come into this room today. I want to tell you, God desires, His will for your life is for you to be adopted into His family. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. Romans 8, beginning with verse 14. We give respect to the reading of God's word by standing, so please stand with me. Romans 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Father in heaven, I thank You for this truth, that Your love is so great, Your grace and Your mercy is so great, that You find us where we're at, You reach out to us, and You take us into a relationship with You forever and ever. We can be children of God. Lord God, I'm overwhelmed with that thought. Lord, help everyone in this room realize that God's grace is for them. They don't have to earn it. They don't have to be good enough to work harder, to do more, but that You love them. Lord God, I pray everyone in this room would leave in a few minutes with a great confidence in their soul that they are children of God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please be seated. J.I. Packer is a great pastor and author, wrote these words, "Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. Of all the gifts of grace, adoption is the highest." So if you have a concept of Christianity this morning and it doesn't find its foundation in this principle of adoption, you don't really understand Christianity. You see, if your concept of biblical Christianity, as you would define it, is somehow you being good enough or somehow you being worthy enough for God to somehow bring you into heaven, you do not understand biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity has this foundational teaching of adoption. And I want you to know without any doubt today that you, if you're a Christ follower, are a child of God. Now, it's interesting in the New Testament that this teaching that we are children of God actually comes on two parallel roads. The first road we find in John chapter 3, and it's called being born again. So in order to have a relationship with God and to be in God's kingdom and to be in God's family, you must be born again. And so the Bible teaches this idea that we are children of God by birth, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive a new birth, you receive a new life, that you receive a new nature in Christ, that somehow you are born spiritually. It's not physical, but it's spiritual, and you are a child of God because you've been born again. What a beautiful promise. No matter what our physical birth is like, He's willing to give us a new birth in Christ. But the Bible also teaches that we are children of God by adoption. So we're children of God by being born again, and we're children of God by adoption. In the adoption teaching, we receive God's inheritance. We receive a new position in life and in eternity and with God, that we are children of God by a declaration of adoption. And so if you are a Christ follower this morning, you are a child of God by birth, born again, and by adoption, a declaration of God. Now, interesting, as you study Genesis through Revelation, you find this principle that God wants to be our Father. We find it quoted in 2 Corinthians 6:18. Looking back to the Old Testament, it says this, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So a principle that Paul points out when you see the Old Testament unfolding, you see a principle that God, the creator of everything, he wants to be your father. He wants to be have a relationship with you as family. He wants you to be his kid. Then you fast forward through the New Testament and you find the similar teaching all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7. "I will be his God and he will be my son." And so God says, "I've created them to have a family relationship and I want to be their father and I want them to be my kids." Now, if you go back into the first century, Roman law, if you were going to do an adoption, required 7 witnesses in order for the adoption to be finalized. You had to have 7 people that were credible in the courtroom that would do a couple of things. Number one is they would declare that the former family is not able to support or take care of this child. Maybe they're dead or they're out of the country or they're just not available. For whatever reason, they're not part of it anymore. You needed 7 witnesses to declare, "Yes, I knew that family and this is what happened to them. And also, I know the new family, and they are ready to be parents. They're ready," and they had to have 7 witnesses. And I remember being in the courtroom. We have 3 adoptions in our family, and I remember being in the courtroom, and the judge actually, I thought I was just going to go and kind of observe, but the judge actually looked at us and said, "Do you agree with this? Are you in with this? Are you going to be a part of this family, this adoption?" And so, similar to the Roman law, it took 7 witnesses for it to get finalized. Now, in the Jewish law, it takes 2 to 3 witnesses for something to be finalized in a courtroom. And so this morning, I'm going to give you 3 witnesses, more following the Jewish law of your adoption into God's family. So instead of a 7-point sermon, you're going to get a 3.1. All of you say amen. Okay, good. We got that. So by God's grace, here we go. What are the assurances of our adoption to God's family? For Pastor Phil just to tell you, you're a child of God, that's not enough. I want you to get some biblical assurances that you are adopted into God's family. Now, here's the first one, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the first witness that makes a declaration to you that you are a child of God. This is what the Bible says, Romans 8:14, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So there is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life that's going to bring you to that place of assurance that you are a child of God. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? Now, it could mean a lot of things, but I'm going to give you 3 kind of big picture ideas. Number one, the Holy Spirit leads us by conviction of sin. So John 16:8 tells us this and Psalm 25:8. And so when the Holy Spirit's involved in a life, one of the first things he's going to do in your life, in my life, is he's going to convict us of sin. He's going to tell us the way I'm living, the connection I have with sin, the habits I have, the bondage I have, the family I'm in over here that's anti-God and anti, I'm not talking about earthly family, I'm talking about my spiritual family. I am far from God. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and says, "You know what? You got to realize what you're giving your life to. This is called sin. That's the work of the Holy Spirit." The second thing the Holy Spirit does, if he's leading you, is he's not just going to convict you of sin. I love this. God doesn't just tell us what we're doing wrong. But what he does is he begins to communicate to us God's word. I want to tell you, when you start reading the Bible, the New Testament especially, you're going to see the Holy Spirit is going to start telling you what God's plan is, what God's will is, what God wants in your life. He's going to start opening your eyes. The Holy Spirit loves to do this, teaching us through the word of God. But the third thing the Holy Spirit does is by confirmation. So the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit's going to come into your life and he's going to help you in your spirit know you are not alone. God loves you. You are valuable. God cares about you. That you are not a discard. You are not trash. God has a plan for you. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So if you are adopted into God's family, you're going to know the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to know it by conviction. You're going to know it by the communication of God's word into your heart. You're going to know it by a confirmation in your spirit. Now, if you're reading The Case for Grace in chapter 2, you're going to learn about a young woman named Stephanie Fast. Stephanie Fast, her biological dad, and she was living in South Korea through the Korean War, was a military man, disappeared, and her biological mom was going to remarry, and so the new dad did not want that kid in his family, and so she was discarded. You can read the chapter and have your heart break to hear the story. But when Stephanie was finally adopted by a missionary couple that came into the children's home and chose her, the book talks about that in her mind, she thought what they really wanted was not a child, but a servant. Our church supports Rahima Children's Home in Kenya, 160-some kids that need the love of God and care. And when we were there in Kenya, one of the challenges of Kenya, they don't encourage Rahima or in Kenya international adoptions. They can happen, but they do encourage national adoptions, and that does happen sometimes with the kids at Rahima. But one of the problems that Jeff and Carla have shared with us is that sometimes Kenyans will come to their children's home and say, we would like to adopt. We would like a little boy, a little girl. And they'll pick somebody, and the paperwork goes through, and it seems so right and seems so good. And then they'll find out later that all the Kenyan family wanted was a servant. And so when they find that out, it breaks their heart. And many times they'll be able to get the child back into their home so they can love on them and take care of them. And Stephanie, when she, in the book you'll read, she really thought this couple would not want her to be a child or a daughter. They wanted just another servant. And so it kind of accepted that, and time went on. And finally, somebody in her class said something about her being their daughter. And all of a sudden, like a light bulb moment came on, and she goes, I'm a daughter. I'm not a servant. And she runs and finds her mom, and she calls out to her mom, I'm your daughter. Of course. And they embrace. But it was like she couldn't believe it until that moment. I love the one phrase in the book, quote, sometimes language cannot contain grace. I love that. And I see the picture of this mom and this daughter, and they're hugging and they're crying, and they can't say the words anymore, but now there is a truth that they're embracing. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. And so some of the things that maybe hurt are embracing this truth from the Holy Spirit is that we're still standing in our own abilities, that God's going to somehow look at our achievements or our goodness, and somehow then he will accept us as his kids. But the Holy Spirit's got to work in our heart to do that, to do something special. Now watch this. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So when you turn to God and you say, God, I want to be in your family, one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do is he's got to clean things up in your heart and your life. He's got to clean up your attitudes. He's got to clean up your perspective. He's got to clean up your addictions. He's got to clean up the issues you have towards sin. The story of Stephanie when she was in that children's home and this couple comes in to adopt, and they look at all these wonderful, cute kids and all these perfect kids and so forth, and Stephanie was a mess physically. She was dirty. She had lice. Her hair was white because of malnutrition and also the lice. She had worms. She had a lazy eye because of the malnutrition, poor eyesight. She was 9 years old, and she weighed 30 pounds. She had boils all over her body, scars on her face. And they loved her. Have you ever meditated upon the thought of how God saw you when he saw you in your sin, he saw you far from God? C.S. Lewis said this, I found what appalled me, I love this description, a zoo of lusts, a bedlam of ambitions, a nursery of fears, a harem of fondled hatreds, and my name was Legion. When C.S. Lewis looked at his soul apart from God, he saw a mess. And Stephanie Fast, she saw herself and she knew, nobody will want me. You see, then the Holy Spirit starts to kick into our lives. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to wash you, and I'm going to renew you, and I'm going to pour into you. Titus 3:6, listen to these words, whom he poured out. That's the Holy Spirit. God pours out the Holy Spirit on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs. The word heirs has adoption all over it. According to the hope of eternal life. You see, God wants to set us apart as his kids. And he's going to do a work of cleansing. He's going to do a work of convicting. He's going to do a work of reassurance. He's going to do a work of bringing us into his family, and the Holy Spirit will help us. The presence of God, the Spirit, is a witness that we are children of God. Now, number two, second witness. There's a personal intimacy with the Father. You want to know evidence that you are adopted into God's family? Look at Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You know, in the book, Stephanie was so afraid that she would do something or say something where they would send her back. So she lived in constant daily fear. The Bible tells us that our problems with sin, the Bible describes it as a spirit of slavery. What does that mean? Romans 6:6 says that before we know Jesus, we are slaves to sin. It's a bondage to maybe our activity, but there's also a bondage to our guilt. It's an awareness that I have a debt with God that I cannot pay. Okay? And so maybe you've had fears that God doesn't really accept you, that God doesn't really want you, maybe because of your bad habits or maybe because of what you have said or what you have done. One of the most powerful illustrations in chapter 2 of the book is this man wanting to adopt Stephanie there in the children's home. And so this man puts his hands on her face and lovingly is caressing her face and connecting with her with love and acceptance and value. And if you've read the chapter, you know what she does next. Stephanie, seeing all this love and seeing all that he is doing, she spits in his face. We know our sin and we know our rebellion and we know what we've done in the past. And many times we have this fear that God, he just can't love me. And so some of us reflect that fear by pushing God even further away. But the Bible says in Romans 8:15, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. So the Holy Spirit is telling you, listen closely, the Holy Spirit is telling you and telling me that God the Father wants you. That God the Father wants you. And the Holy Spirit's going to do something that you cannot do in your own ability. It says in Romans 8:15, by whom, that's the Holy Spirit, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we can't do that on our own because we feel so unworthy. We don't think God will ever want us, so we can't cry that out on our own effort and own merit. But the Holy Spirit says, yes, you can cry that out. Yes, you are a child of God. Now, it's interesting. Abba, Father, is really kind of a repetition of the same word in two different languages. Abba is Aramaic, and Father, originally, it's in the Greek, actually. It's pater. So when Paul wrote this, he said, Daddy, Daddy, but really he used two different languages. It's very interesting. I believe he maybe is speaking that this is true for all language groups. Possibly he's relating back to Jesus in Mark 14:36, where Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane cried out, Abba. He went to the Aramaic, Abba, Daddy, in his deepest turmoil in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit is telling us, maybe I could say it like this, the Holy Spirit's giving you permission. More than that, the Holy Spirit is pushing. The Holy Spirit is reassuring. The Holy Spirit is saying, you can call out. You can call out, Daddy. A term of affection, a term of intimacy, a term of tenderness. I don't know if you've been a Christ follower for many, many years and you've never seen God the Father as your daddy. You have missed a moment of connection with God, you can run into his arms and say, Papa. And God the Father will receive you. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we have the whole Trinity in Galatians 4:6. It's really cool. We have the Father reaching out to us saying, yes, I want that kind of relationship. And the Spirit of God is saying, yes, you can have that kind of relationship. And the Son of God is saying, yes, you can have that kind of relationship. And the Trinity is saying, yes, call me Abba. Call me Daddy. Now, maybe you're here this morning and your earthly dad, your biological dad, has never been there for you. Maybe there's been pain and hurt and sorrow and rejection, and you've felt like there's not a connection of love and intimacy. You would never feel that with your earthly father. I know I'm speaking to somebody in this room today. I want you to know that Jesus understands. There was a moment with Stephanie in her life where she came back to the States, her new family. She's doing really well. She's in a Christian school. She's doing really well. She loves God. She loves the Bible. And then at age 17, she hit the wall emotionally and spiritually. She went down the toilet in her heart and mind. She just didn't know what to think, what to feel. And what came forth was really she still felt like she was somehow earning her place in the family. She wanted to be good enough so she could be accepted in the family. And finally, in her bedroom, she's weeping uncontrollably. And one of the beautiful pictures in the book is the mom doesn't know what to say to her. She sits by the bed and she just holds her hands. And then you see where the dad is. The dad is not holding her hands. The dad is sitting at the end of the bed, holding her feet. And you have a mom and dad saying, we're here for you. We love you. We are not giving up on you. We're committed to you. You see, sometimes we go sideways, and sometimes we push God away, and sometimes we can't believe what God says about us. And so we're in this place of a lost soul. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit and God the Father are saying, I want you to be my kid. Verse 7 of Galatians 4, no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Did you not get that light bulb moment when I was talking to the kids? That each of the adoption stories through Scripture moves people from slavery or bondage or lostness to royalty. Did you not see that? God wants us to be his sons, but watch this. Then an heir through God, it says in verse 7. So the idea of adoption is not just that we get to be in the palace somewhere, maybe, you know, clean a back room and here's a broom kind of thing. We're in the palace and we are actually heirs. Somewhere in your walk with Jesus, you need to come to this relationship with God. I am his son. I am his daughter, you would say. No matter what the world has said about you, no matter what your family has said about you. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks. Man, when you're overwhelmed with what God the Father has done, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. You have not qualified yourself, by the way. God has qualified you by his grace to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me share one more thought with you about the three witnesses here. This is so cool. The Holy Spirit telling me, you're a child of God. God the Father saying, you're my kid, you're my son, you're my daughter. And now we find that the Son of God is the witness of my adoption. Now watch this, Galatians 4:6. To redeem, the word redeem is a purchase price, those who are under the law, that's our old life, our old family, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now, in Roman law, with adoption, there had to be a declaration of severing the rights and connection to your former family. Because of the seven witnesses in a Roman court, the judge would declare the former family no longer is part of this person's life. Okay? You kind of see a little bit of it in the Bible with the story of Ruth, where they're trying to figure out what to do with Ruth, and the nearest relative has an opportunity to take responsibility, and the nearest relative does not want to take responsibility for all that that family is bringing into his family, and so he says no, and then you got the story of Boaz saying, yes, I'll take care of her. The Roman court said, okay, is there any obligations, is there any debt from the former family where we need to address this in the courtroom? And they would address it, and they would sever the rights. Now, number two, now watch this. And then the person adopting this child would have to pay any outstanding debts, obligations, and price of the adoption. Now, if any of you in this room has done an adoption, you know how expensive it can be, okay? By the way, having kids is expensive, period. But when you do an adoption, we're talking about, my daughter and her husband, they went to Ethiopia, and they had to spend 2 weeks there. And a big part of it was all the paperwork, all the money had to be paid, and everything had to be paid. And did I tell you that everything had to be paid? And there was just lots of negotiating and paperwork. And when the judge finally said everything's been paid appropriately, then the adoption was completed. Now, just think about that for a moment. Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Romans 8:23 says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Now, what Romans 8:23 tells us about adoption very quickly is that God wants to adopt me not just now, but forever and ever and ever. Isn't that awesome? That when we get a new body, when we get to the new kingdom, when we get to the glory, God's adoption is as good then as it is now. I want you to know this. This is an eternal transaction. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about God's grace, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, but I want you to know the grace of Jesus right now. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Did you know that grace is costly? Oh, you don't have to pay for it. Jesus is paying for it. So that you, by his poverty, might become rich. So he says, I will pay the price. Remember the adoption process. Somebody has to pay the price. You have to pay the debts. You have to pay the obligation from the past family, the past situation. And Jesus stands up and says, I've got it covered. I'm going to the cross. My blood is precious, and I will shed it. I will give it all because I want to pay the price to bring them into the family. Now listen closely to Hebrews 9:15. I know there's a lot of theology in this verse, but just follow it with me as we finish up today. Listen closely. Therefore, he, that's Jesus, is the mediator of a new covenant, a new contract with God, so that those who are called, that's people that are following Jesus, may receive the promised eternal inheritance, that's adoption, since a death has occurred, now watch this, that redeems that purchase price from the transgressions, that's the past family, the debt before God committed under the first covenant. You see what God is doing? He's saying, I know there has to be a price paid, and my son, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, my son will pay the price for your adoption. Interesting spiritual shock moment that happened in Mexico a few years ago. The Aztec Indians had a spiritual cultural teaching that went on for a long time. And this is what the teaching was, that God out there somewhere needs a sacrifice, and in order to get his good favor, you're going to have to give something to him. So they would give money, they would give their harvest, they would even give their kids human sacrifices. Because the teaching was that God demanded a sacrifice and you had to come up with it. And then one day, some Christ follower missionaries showed up and they said, I got a new teaching for you. It's found in the Bible, and this is the new teaching, that God loves you very much and that God is willing to sacrifice his son for you. The record of what happened in the tribes when they heard that message was a spiritual shock. The missionaries couldn't really describe it any other way. It was like they didn't know what to do with this. All their life, it was us sacrificing for him. And now we learn that he is willing to sacrifice for us. This is the good news. This is the good news of Christianity. Please bow with me in prayer. As you bow your head, I want to talk to you today. If you've walked into this room and you do not have a relationship with God, you know you're searching. I want to tell you some good news right now as you think about what I've shared. I believe the Holy Spirit has brought you to this room. I believe the Holy Spirit is telling you the truth, that God loves you and God wants you in his family. Maybe you're not feeling good enough. Maybe you're not feeling qualified. I want to tell you that God the Father is reaching out to you right now. And he will qualify you. He will cleanse you by his Spirit. He will help you. I want to tell you that the Son of God laid down his life for you. He paid the price. I don't care what your biological family situation is. I don't care what you have done. I want to tell you that Jesus has paid the price. I don't care what your debt is before God. I don't care the mess you've made. I want to tell you the grace of God tells me that he has paid the price for you. And so right now, you can receive a free gift of his forgiveness and his love. And you can say, I'm ready. I'm ready to be in your family, God. If you're a Christ follower in this room, I want to just challenge you. Have you spent your Christian life trying to be good enough, trying to do more, somehow trying to get God's attention, God's favor, and you have believed in Jesus, but you have mixed it in with this spirit of fear, a spirit that God would reject you if you didn't do all the right things. I want to tell you, you need to come to a place where you embrace by God's grace that your identity is a child of the King, and that will never change for all eternity, because it's not about you, it's about him loving you and reaching out to you right now. Father in heaven, thank you for the adoption through Jesus. Thank you. We are no longer children of wrath, children of disobedience, children in opposition to you. We are now children of God by your grace. Thank you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.